Planning a trip or a vacation can be a lot of work. You might feel like you need to look at all the guidebooks, spend hours digging through reviews on TripAdvisor and other sites. Then you want to plan what you're going to do each day because you want to make the most of your trip and see all that there is to see. Kind of makes sense. But our next guest says we might have a better time if we leave more room for spontaneity and curiosity. The small town just outside the big city might have some undiscovered thrills. The pizza place you pass by on your way to the number two best pizza in Italy is packed with the locals. Maybe it's better. Seth Kugel is a freelance journalist, travel writer, and former writer of the New York Times column Frugal Traveler. He has two YouTube channels, Amigo Gringo and Globally Curious. He's the author of the new book, Rediscovering Travel, A Guide for the Globally Curious. Seth, welcome to Central Time. Not hearing Seth. Seth, are you there? I think we've lost the connection with Seth. Well, while we try to...
Oh, hello.
Oh, Seth, we gotcha. We sure can, Seth. Okay. Hi. Wonderful.
You know, I just had this mute button on. I don't know why you couldn't hear me, but I've turned it off.
That'll do it, and that's okay. So, Seth, I think you heard the intro there then.
Yeah.
What led you to want to write this book and kind of make us rethink, or as you say, rediscover travel?
Well, I did this travel column for about 5 or 6 years, and after about a year, I stopped paying so much attention to the places I was seeing and started paying more attention to the people who were traveling around me. And I sort of got the idea that people, you know, people only travel about, you know, 1 week a year, 2 weeks a year, three or four if they're lucky. And I thought that they're, you know, the people aren't thinking enough about the way they're traveling and what they love about travel. And I think when people think more about why they travel, then they'll be more convinced to be more spontaneous, to go off the beaten path, that sort of a thing. And then I sort of thought about this for 4 or 5 years and decided to put it together in a book.
I got to say, there's a civil war in my head when I travel. Part of me's right on board. Yeah, just go explore, wander around, find cool new stuff. And then there's the other half of my brain that's like, you will never be here again. You must see the important things. Check them off your checklist. How do we resolve that battle?
Yes. Well, I think it's pretty easy. You do some of each. I would never tell anyone not to see some of the great sights of the world just so that you can go into a hole-in-the-wall pizza place and, you know, talk to a cool, you know, Italian widower or something like that. You just have to balance both of those things. I like to tell people to plan out your whole day, but then be ready to abandon your plans when something better comes up. If you really, really want to see the Statue of Liberty, you should go see the Statue of Liberty. However, you should also get off at Ellis Island and see the museum there, which is much more interesting. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah, talk about some of the things that you've encountered. You share a lot of these in your book, but that you've encountered when you do step off the itinerary.
Sure. Well, one of the things I love to do is just to find a neighborhood to walk around and sort of maybe have an end point for my walk. So I was at this Argentine rodeo event and I met a tango instructor, because what else are you going to do at an Argentine rodeo event besides meet a tango instructor? So I really got along well with him. So he did two things for me. He set me up on a blind date, which is I'm not even going to talk about, but he also told me about a neighborhood. I asked him, actually. I said, what neighborhood in Buenos Aires should I just walk around? I don't want to see any tourists. I just want to see a normal neighborhood. So he gave me a neighborhood. He gave me a restaurant I should eat in there. So then that morning, I mapped out where I was, where the neighborhood was. It was maybe a mile away. And I just decided that by, you know, late lunchtime, I would be at that restaurant and just sort of see what happens. And I ended up, in this case, just talking to a really interesting couple, young couple who ran a pasta store. And of course, there's all these Italian immigrants in Argentina. So that's one thing. Other things that are sort of more exciting are like when I was driving, this story is in the book, when I was driving from one Turkish city to the next in the middle of pistachio country. And I just love pistachios, pistachio ice cream, baklava. It's full of pistachios. And I realized I was driving through pistachio orchards. And I was like, huh, I've never been in a pistachio orchard. Let me sort of turn off at the next road and sort of drive through. And I got off the next road and there was a sign to three villages. And I said, well, let's just see what these villages are. I mean, you have to know a little bit about the place you're going to. Turkey is a very friendly, welcoming place, very hospitable. So I went, and the first village, there was no one in it. The second village, some guy gave me a nasty look. And the third village I got to, and within 5 minutes, I was invited by a pistachio farmer to his house and ended up with a meal and a tour of the pistachio orchard. And, you know, that's the sort of thing you remember. I love to ask people to think back to their last trip and what images come to their head, what moments come to mind, hopefully the good moments, not the bad moments. And often you'll find it's really not like when you went to see the Mona Lisa in the Louvre. It's often a person you met or a wrong turn you took that turned into something interesting. You know, if you think back on your trip well, let's just stick with Paris, and all you see is the Eiffel Tower, well, you should be a little bit more spontaneous. But I think most people think back to people they met and experiences they had, not sort of sights that they saw.
Talking to Seth Kugel, his new book is Rediscovering Travel, A Guide for the Globally Curious. One bit of advice I love, you clearly like talking to people, meeting people when you're traveling, and you have advice, it comes down to basically, yeah, the dude standing outside the Eiffel Tower, he's not going to want to talk to tourists. You have to go to maybe places that tourists don't go to as much.
Yeah, this is sort of one of my cardinal rules. All of these rules, by the way, I had no idea what they were, and I just sort of experimented while I was doing the column, and I just sort of, at a certain point, if you do something enough and it always works, then you just make it into a rule. And so one of my real cardinal rules is that, you know, how friendly and welcoming people are to tourists is inversely related to how many tourists are there. So, like, and it just universally works. You go to a place that is not crowded with throngs of tourists, and people are more curious about you. If you go to a place where there are no tourists, then people are really curious about you. But if you go to, you know, Venice, the center of Venice, mm-hmm. every single person who's there either thinks you're a big, it's kind of like I think of as tourists in Times Square, like you're just causing problems, or you're someone who's going to spend money and I'm going to sell you something. So the business relationship between the people who live in a very touristy place and the tourists kind of kills a little bit any sort of personal relationship that you might develop.
Now, one thing that's changed a lot in my lifetime in traveling is the smartphone and all the travel apps, TripAdvisor, a biggie. There are others. How can we go wrong, I guess, if we rely too much on looking at the reviews by those who have traveled before us?
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, it's not just your lifetime unless you're a fourth grader. I mean, this has all changed in like the last decade, and it keeps changing. So I don't dislike TripAdvisor. I don't dislike the idea that there is a site and an app with endless information on tons and tons of stuff you can do. I'm just concerned about the way people use it and the way people depend on it and the way people study it to basically know everything that's going to happen before it happens. I compare it to, like, you're going to go see a movie. Do you want to read every single review written about the movie before you go? No, you want something to be a little bit of a surprise. And there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, because surprises are so great. It's the best part of travel. Discoveries. You didn't know something was there, then it was there. You'd never heard of a certain dish, and the waiter recommended it, and you tasted it. And maybe you hated it, maybe you loved it. But if you read all the reviews, there's going to be no surprises. And the second reason is because often, of course, the reviews are wrong, and often they're too good. And if you go to a place that's pretty good, but you've read reviews that say it's awesome, well, you're going to be pretty disappointed that it's pretty good. But if you just sort of stumbled into it and asked around, look what's on other people's tables around you, then a pretty good restaurant turns into a pretty good experience.
We asked people on Facebook to share their travel experiences that worked because they didn't overplan. We got a lot of responses. Let's hear from Kathleen. She says, while traveling from Boston to Maine, we stopped in Salem for a night and went on a haunted tour. It's actually very historical and informative. One of the best things I remember from that trip, never overplan your trips. I have more fun memories from random stuff we did as a family. And I can think of a lot of experiences like that myself. The random thing you did is the memorable thing. Seth, that's right on target with what you're talking about. Did we lose Seth? Are you there?
Hello?
Hey, are Seth, we got you back.
I'm back. Oh, I don't know what happened. Anyway, yeah, it's the perfect balance, I think, that story of planning versus not planning. Because they did go on an organized tour, went on the ghost tour of Salem, which I love. I'm from Massachusetts, so I've certainly been on, I've actually been on a tour like that. And it's not like you want to just not go on any organized tours at all, but it was a spontaneous stop. Hey, we're going to stop in Salem. Whoa, Salem, isn't that where the witch trials were? Okay, let's get off and sort of see what happens. And they end up having a great time. And really, I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly what happened. But you go to a place that you haven't read that much about before, and it's everything is more interesting. Everything is fresher. Everything is more surprising. Of course, you're going to read up a little bit about the places you're going to go to most of the time. But really, when I keep thinking I'm going to be wrong when I'm traveling, and I say, I'm just going to get off the highway at this exit because there's a town with a funny name and I want to see what it's like. And I'm like, it's going to be a waste of my time. It's worked before, but it can't keep working. It always works. It just always does, because the world is incredibly interesting. And when things are surprising, it becomes even more interesting. I've been to such a large number of towns. I like going to towns that there are no reviews about the town on TripAdvisor at all. And the book actually starts in this town. I'm going to give it all away. But it turns out I go to a town and there's literally nothing on TripAdvisor about it. I get to the train station and there's a map of the city with like 48 tourist attractions posted on it. So, you know, that was fun. I'm not going to say these tourist attractions were, you know, absolutely fantastic. One of my memories there is that I got this soup that kind of looked like it has, the noodles were shaped like maggots.
Nice.
So, you know, that wasn't the greatest moment. It was actually pretty tasty. I just didn't really like how they looked.
We're talking to Seth Kugel, travel writer. His new book is called Rediscovering Travel, A Guide for the Globally Curious. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever had a great travel experience that worked because you didn't overplan your trip? Or flip side, do you feel like maybe you did overplan the trip, tried to pack too much of the required sites in, didn't leave enough time for fun? And how do you use technology when you travel? Why do you travel? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post and find out what other people have to say on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with travel writer Seth Kugel. His new book is Rediscovering Travel, A Guide for the Globally Curious. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Our main question, have you enjoyed a trip more in the past when you didn't plan it, took some time off to be spontaneous on that trip, or do you have questions about how to do that? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. To your calls now, Keith is with us in Green Bay. Keith, hello.
Hi. Seth, I love your philosophy, and I've had experiences at both ends of the spectrum. I'm in my 60s. I started traveling when I retired. Last spring, I went on a tour. I went to China. It was 42 people on a bus with a Wrangler. And it was like, be here for 2 hours, be there for 2 hours, be back to the bus to this time because we have to be somewhere else. And I did a tour in Europe where it was it felt like a drive-by. You know, here's this museum, here's this park, here's this war memorial. A couple of years ago, I went to Ireland on a bike tour. That was the first 9 days of a month in the UK. And then I went to, took the train across to London, where I stayed in a 10-bed dorm room in a hostel.
There we go. And, now we're talking.
Yep. Got into some of the best conversations one night, and the World Cup rugby championships were happening in London during that period. So the hostel was full of all kinds of interesting people from all over the world. I got into an interesting conversation. One night I stopped into a sports bar for fish and chips and asked for the malt vinegar from the people at the next table. They turned out to be musicians with the Royal Philharmonic. I was on a train platform and noticed a man looking at his theater program from the same play that I'd been to. Turned out he had been a member of the Doily Cart theater for years. Got into a wonderful conversation on a train.
Keith, a lot of great stories to share. Thank you so much for calling in. He is on your page, Seth.
Well, I mean, Keith had some great stories there, but a lot of that had to do with him actually finding an excuse for talking to the people around him and leading to great stories. If you just stand there, sit there silently, probably nothing's going to happen. But you ask the guy about the program he has, you ask for the malt vinegar. I mean, that's the sort of thing where I'd hide the malt vinegar on my own table so that I could ask the next table for malt vinegar. I do stuff like that all the time. I ask for directions when I already know how to get there because I see someone I want to start a conversation with. And interesting point, though, about China. China is a very challenging place to visit. There's a lot of places there where nobody speaks English and no signs are even in Roman letters. So it is a very intimidating place to travel in a way. But when you are on a trip like that, I always tell people to just try to escape for a few hours or just take a walk around. I remember being in Shanghai and just walking into a neighborhood where there weren't any tourists and just having odd interactions with people and trying to buy. One experience I always remember, I was trying to buy gloves. And I asked, how much are these gloves? It was winter. And the guy holds up his hand like in a, as if it were like a gun and with his fingers. And that symbolizes like seven in Chinese. And I'll always remember like what a lack of communication when we have a different way of counting on our hands than another culture does. It's just something that totally struck me and it wouldn't have happened on a tour.
Keith, thanks for calling in. We'll go now to Mika in Stevens Point. Mika, hi.
Hi. First of all, the show is great, but I was thinking about the time a couple of years ago I was in Japan teaching. And I was with a whole bunch of people, and we were there for 3 months. And I had a bunch of sites planned because we had a week off to do kind of whatever we wanted. And so there was a bunch of cities that I wanted to visit, and I kind of had, like, the itinerary set up. And then everybody decided to back out.
Oh, no.
So I was like, okay, and I never have gone traveling by myself. So I decided, you know what, I all have my train pass. It covers the bullet trains. I'm going to do everything by myself. I don't actually care. And I was like, you know what? And I was so mad at the point, I just kind of threw away my travel guide. And I was like, I'm just going to go to these cities and I'm just going to see what's up. So I went to the city. I just threw away all my itinerary. And I went to the three cities, Kyoto and Nagoya and Osaka. And one of them is the food capital of the world. I believe it's Osaka. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to find some of these tiny little hole in the wall shops. It was some of the best food I've ever had. I found these really cool, like, little stores and stuff. And I was like, you know, if I stuck to my itinerary, I would have never been able to experience any of these things. And I was so upset that I had, and I saw some of the best sites ever. And I was so upset that I was counting on everybody to come with me. And I almost ruined it for myself by just being like, you know what, I'll just stay in the hostel for the next week. I don't actually care.
Oh, Mika, so thank great. You so much. Yeah, she showed them by having an awesome time. Take that, so-called friends. Revenge doesn't have to be part of it, but yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is a little nerve-wracking to travel on your own, especially for the first time. Sometimes, you know, there's also gender differences, you know, feel different, you know, men sometimes have different safety issues than women. But it's so great to hear about a story where someone just goes off and just finds stuff. I was thinking when she was talking about the little hole in the wall, I guarantee that hole in the wall has 100 reviews on TripAdvisor, but I guarantee it tasted better because she didn't know about those reviews.
Mika. Thank you so much for sharing that story. And something I want to get to, Seth, you're not just talking about having this attitude when you're traveling in faraway lands. You do this in the United States, probably, I'm guessing, in your own neighborhood.
Well, absolutely. I happen to live in Queens, New York. Actually, we're going to get the Amazon headquarters too, so I don't know how that's going to affect the tourist attractions there. But my neighborhood is full of crazy restaurants, incredibly diverse. And I love walking around it. I try to walk home from the subway a different route every day, so I can sort of bump into something I never knew about. But you can definitely do this in your local city. You can do it the next state over. These work everywhere. You don't have to be in China or Japan.
And I don't know, sometimes as Americans, I think, yeah, we want to talk to strangers, and sometimes we want to just close up and not have that conversation with the person we ask directions of, or the you know, wait staff at the restaurant, whatever. Give us some little social advice where we're traveling in the United States to make these connections.
Well, I think, you know, it's funny, people from abroad often tell me that when they come to the United States, they're really surprised at how friendly everybody is. Like, I don't know how we got a reputation of not being friendly, but they're surprised that people are so helpful to them and all that kind of stuff. I would just say that when you are running around, obviously some days you're not going to want to talk to anyone. I get it. That's fine. But you do want to be a little conscious of the local culture, even the local sort of regional culture. You know, what people talk about in different places is different. And you just have to always be sort of traveling with the – I always tell people, realize or at least think about that you're kind of an idiot when you go somewhere else. Like, you don't know anything about how people are acting. You don't know anything about how the local culture sort of works. So just realize that anything you do might be a big mistake. And observe the people. And this totally goes for the United States. I mean, what a diverse, incredible country to travel in. I once took a drive. I'd realize, you know, we, in New York, we're always talking about the coast, and actually I love Wisconsin and Chicago and the Midwest and stuff, but sort of that middle of the country from like Louisiana up to North Dakota, I had never really been in. So I'm like, I'm just going to take a road trip. And boy, people were just so almost painfully friendly. Huh. And I mean that in a totally good way.
And that's all the time we have. Thanks to Seth Kugel. His new book is called Rediscovering Travel, A Guide for the Globally Curious. Hope we can talk to Seth about travel again in the future. You can keep sharing your stories and read other people's stories over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.